Thank you very much. So that was my wonderful wife. Just a little bit about me, that I'm recently turned 30, so I don't feel young anymore. My career before, I was a financial consultant for a bank in Germany and a broker. We just married a little bit over 1 year from now. Yeah, in general, just I love all kinds of sports and adventures. So right now, the Adventure DTS is kind of tailor-made for me. So I really like to go outdoors, to go hiking, camping, and all that kind of stuff. And now we are in the situation where I can do that with all my students. Like, we have 12 students right now, as Malena said, and we can go outdoors, we can experience God outdoors, and it's like, it's an amazing adventure. It's like really cool. When we hiked Mount Amos a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago? Around about 1.5 weeks ago, we hiked Mount Amos with the students. And I was praying about what should I talk today and what do they really want to hear? And God, I want just you to speak and not just my thoughts here. And as I was hiking, I was just looking down and saw me taking like steps, like when we hiked, like one step in front of another. It's like, oh yeah, steps. Okay, why do we make steps? What is a step? And just, yeah, I looked up, what is the definition of a step? It's like, a step is an act or movement of putting one leg in front of the other. So one leg in front of the other. But the main focus is here, in front of the other leg. So our walk with God is never a step backwards. It's never a step to the side. When we walk with God, it's a walk, it's a step forward. And that's like pretty good to know. And yeah, it doesn't really matter if the step is like that small or the step is that huge. Like for me, for example, for me it was a huge step coming from Germany, from my financial secure background, working in the bank and everything is just happy. God called us to go to Tasmania. I was like, what are we doing? Where is Tasmania? I had no idea. And yeah, coming from that background to a place without that financial background, without any kind of income, just trusting in God, that's like a huge step for me. Might not be a big step for someone else. For me, it was. Definitely, it was. And for others, like the steps forward can be small steps. For example, just being nice to someone you don't like before, or who was you're angry about him. Just, it's a small step. Others could be like just helping someone out. If you see someone struggling with a grocery shopping, why don't you just help him carrying the shopping bag? That's a small step. But I truly believe that in God's eyes, this step is as big as a step that I consider as a big step that I did. So that's the same for God. And maybe you should, there's a thing that God told you, maybe just stop gossiping about other people or being lazy all the time. So just those things where you feel like, yeah, that might not be the best me, ask God. And yeah, those little steps and those things make a big difference in God's eyes. And it doesn't really matter how small or big they are. God does not compare those kind of steps. So for him, that's a step forward, is a step forward. And every step with God is a step forward. So God is looking for something else. And it's not for the step. God is looking for something that really, really matters to him. And this is our heart. So God is looking for our heart. He's looking for our attitude. Why are we doing the things we do? So I have like a bad example in Matthew 23. Maybe we can see it, the next chart. It's kind of hard words for me, so you might help me with that. Where Jesus warns the crowds against the Pharisees. And I just read the first, but the main focus is from verse 5 on, but I just start reading. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. And now the main focus, everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor and at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others. So that really made me think about my life. Why am I doing things the way I do things? Am I nice to someone else because someone else can see it and then say, oh, he's a nice guy? Or am I nice because I really love to be nice to someone else, because my heart says, hey, this is a child of God and I am friendly and I'm nice to him? Do I serve God for my own sake? Is it just that, just God help me, God care for me, God do that, do that, do that? Or is it more like, why do I things the way I do? And that's really challenged me. So there's like these small things. When you live in community life, you will face those situations. You will see, oh, there's someone not cleaning up behind him. And you see, wow. I have a decision. There's a decision to make at that moment. Am I angry on that person? Or do I just clean up and go? So that's just the small decisions in life that make a huge difference in God's eyes. Just for me, the real thing is, like, is it really because we want to do good? Or is it just that we want to look good for other people? So that really challenged me, because I saw myself doing good things that others can see that I'm good. And that really challenged me. But in the Bible, there's also a very good other example. That's the next. Is in Luke 21, the widow's offering. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. So I kind of meditated on that Bible verse, and I just asked God, hey, what does it say? It's like, it's very obvious. She had nothing and she gave all. Yeah, that's a very clear message. But what does it really mean? What does it really mean for me and for my life? So she gave two copper coins. I looked up the worth of a copper coin by that time. What do you think? The worth is half a cent. That's the value of a copper coin by that time. So name one thing you can buy for that now. So it just, it's nothing. It's more than nothing. And as I was meditating about that verse, in that case, I felt like God speaking to me, that's not the money she gave. In that verse, money equals her heart. So she had two copper coins. Imagine you have two copper coins. That's all you have. And God asks you, hey, would you give that all for me? And you say, oh, yeah, maybe you can have one. And I keep the other one because I want to feel safe and I need that background. I need that safety. But she gave two. And so for me, that really spoke to me. And so she's not half-hearted. She gave everything she has, everything, without holding back. And so she gave her full heart, her full life. And she gave out of nothing in fully faith and trust. And that challenged me again. And will I give all my life to God? Will I give all my money to God? Will I give everything I have? Or do I have to keep that safety money in the background? Do I have to have like my, do I have to have that safety in the background? And what's my attitude behind keeping things or not giving things to God or to his kingdom? Is that the attitude because I don't trust him enough? Is that, I talk about God, you know? I talk about the creator of all of us, of the whole entire universe. So I think you can pretty much trust him to care about a few people here in the room. So, and he can care for everyone. And I think, yeah, it's really awesome to give. Just when I go back to that point before, but when I give because I feel good afterwards, or I hope that someone else can see that I gave a lot of money, that's that I truly believe that that's not the attitude that God wants us to have. So I truly believe that these small copper coins with the right attitude is worth more than millions of dollars with the wrong attitude. And God can build on that small copper coins more than he could ever do on way more money. So that's really like the hard attitude behind. Why do I things the way I do? And that was really challenging for me because I found myself, again, giving money for the sake of, hey, yeah, you saw, huh? Oh, I gave a lot of money. That's, that really challenged me. Do I have the right attitude? And I think when you look at Jesus' life, it's very obvious that we should give because we love. We should help because we care. And we should do good things because we want to see God's kingdom grow. And how could that look like? How could that look like for me, for my wife, for our students, for all of you here in the room? How could that look like? And the answer is pretty easy. Ask God. But how? That's kind of my second part. How can we talk to God, and how can we listen to God, and how can we get response from God, and how does it work? And that's kind of a whole DTS right now, in just compromised in like a few dot points. But I just want to give you a broader understanding of how we can speak to God and how does that work. So there's just, I collected into three things you need to know about God. And as we've sang in the first two songs, we sang, God is good. He's a good, good father. The first song was something with God is good. And yeah, you can sing God is good, but do you really believe that God is good? Or is it just something you sing in a song? Do you really believe that God is good? And as soon as you understand that God is 100% good, it will make things way, way easier for you. The second thing is, God is constantly speaking to us. So he is speaking to every one of us right now, every time. So he's constantly speaking to us. There's no, oh no, I don't want to speak to Malena right now because she messed up. I don't want to talk to her. God isn't like that. So he's constantly speaking to each and every one of us. The third thing, and this is like a pretty important thing, but hard at the same time, is the thing of repentance. I don't like the word. I don't like the act of repentance. Like, wow, I don't like it. But it is very important. So just recently, I read like a very cool metaphor. I'm a very visual guy, but I like that metaphor of everything you do that God would consider as sin is like a small stone, like a stone. And you are angry with someone, stone. You just have a bad attitude towards your neighbor, stone. You gossiped, stone. And so all these kind of stones they build up a huge wall. Just imagine how big your wall is right now. Just maybe ask God how big your wall is. There can be a huge wall for some people. Somebody might have a small wall, but my wall was definitely big. And so those things, these walls, they are between us and God. So that is a hindrance for us to hear God. And it's not that hard, because as we know, God is good. There is no punishment in God. There is no condemnation in God. Ask him for forgiveness and he will blow that wall away. There's nothing easier and hard at the same time as being honest with God, confessing what you have done, and destroy that wall that is between you and God. And that I would consider as the three main steps of hearing God's voice. It's like the first week of a YWAM teaching, but it continues through every week. And he's a good, good father. He is a good, good father. Repentance and, yeah, just being aware of him speaking. So how, and then my next question, how does that look like in our lives right now? How can we hear God? What can we do? How can we hear God? I mean, many, many people speak about that. And for me, it was really hard in the beginning to hear God. And I was like, how can they hear God? I can't hear anything. Can you hear God right now? No, I can't. I couldn't. So, but then we got some great teachings and we prayed a lot and we get a full understanding of how God really is, of God's character. And there's heaps of ways God can speak to us. I just focus on how God speaks to me and what I heard from some other people. But the first thing, and I think that's, I would guess that that's the main thing God speaks to us, is a small voice in our heads. It's like this small voice, they say, hey, look at him next to you. Does he need help? Do you need help? Is it something I can do for him? Is it, always have in mind, God is a good God, and he would never tell you something bad or something negative or something that turns people down. He will never do that. He's a good God, 100% good. So when you have a small voice in your head says, hey, I should buy him a coffee, go for it and try it out. It can be God. Especially for me, I'm a very visual person. God speaks to me a lot through pictures. Think about a pink elephant right now. That elephant that you see right now, that is how God speaks to me. I see random things in my head, like there's a piano coming up in my head. It's like, why is there a piano in my head? What's wrong? But then I ask God, is that piano for someone? What is it? Tell me more. And there's this small voice again, or maybe another picture, and God builds up the whole story, and I can share it with someone who just, for example, quitted playing piano, and I didn't know that. I talked to him, hey, maybe God wants you to go back on the instrument because he loves you playing. And you see that it will work. And God is speaking to us. And that's amazing. That was an amazing experience to realize that this really works. And that's crazy. It was mind-blowing for me. I was putting God in a box and say, hey, yeah, speak to someone, but not to me. But he is speaking to us. And it's crazy, and it's really good, but you have to train that. You have to be aware and, yeah, destroy that wall. It's fairly easy. Of course, God can speak through other people to us. When someone else has a picture for you and he is coming up to you, don't take everything for granted. I'm not saying that, but ask God, hey, is that picture for me? What do you want to say? And it's like really important to ask God what to do when he's speaking to you. And yeah, I want to just ask you, I want to ask you to ask God that he can show you some situations in your life where you can do better, or show you whom you've treated wrong in the last weeks, 1 month, whatever, or ask God, show me where I've been lazy or where could I've just done better. Whatever comes up in you, go to God with that info and just, yeah, honestly repent, and he will take that away. He's there, as I said, there is no condemnation in God. God is 100% good. We sing that in the songs, and it is the way it is. God is good. And I just want to challenge you. That's the last chart. What is the next step in your life? What is the next step forward with God in your life? And we had, like, the students you can see here, they've made amazing experiences. A lot of them, they've overcome fears. Just one girl, she had asthma, and we prayed for her. She got healed, and she went for a hike. Other girls, she never been able before to just climb on rocks outside and to just really enjoy God's creation. She truly believed that God will heal her, and she did. And so she was able to do things. Together with God, a step is always a step forward. So when we have this good God and we truly believe, and we are 100% sure that this God is good, this God that we serve is good, why don't we make a step? Why don't we make that step? That's never a step backwards. So I want to encourage you all just to take that step. Ask God, train to listen to him. Ask other people how they can hear God. Just want to encourage you to walk with God, to take that step and to ask the Lord, what is the next step in your life? What is the next step in your life? And maybe you can ask the worship team to come up for a song. And I want you, during that song, just maybe close your eyes, whatever you feel comfortable with, and just ask God, what is my next step? What is my next step in my life? What can I do?